We were singing Worthy of It All, and it just came before me. The revelation that John saw is so amazing. I just can't even comprehend I don't know if you can put it in words, what he saw. We have the revelation. We have the description. And part of the chorus that we sang is based on this scripture. It says, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. He is worthy of it all this morning. Oh Lord, I can't imagine what it's going to be to join those thousands and ten thousands of angels and to worship around the throne. No night, no sickness, no sadness, no sorrow, no problems, no deadlines, no tomorrow, no yesterday. It's all now, glorifying the Lamb forever and ever. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Would you turn with me to the book of Joshua, the last chapter in Joshua 24, just a couple of scriptures that impressed upon me this past several days. The theme, subject, topic is choices, making wise choices. Joshua was up in age, about the time of his passing, and he gathered all the tribes, the heads of the tribes together, and spoke with them about following the Lord. And in this 14th verse, 14th and 15th is what is attracting my attention. He says, Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. We're all familiar with that. Israel had conquered a good part of the land, the Canaan land that they were brought into, the promised land. And now things were going to change, and Joshua was going the way of all flesh, as the word of God says. But things were going to change, and he's reminding them. And if you read the first, and we're not going to read it, but just let me brief it, the first part of the chapter, he goes back in their history. And he says, I took your father Abraham on the other side of the flood, led him throughout the land of Canaan, gave him Isaac and Esau. I gave Esau Mount Seir. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did. I brought your fathers out of Egypt. I brought you through the Red Sea. I brought you into this land of the Amorites. I destroyed the people from before you. It says, then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore, I blessed you. So I delivered you out of his hand, and so on and so forth. And if I could take it to us, maybe more personal, I brought two men from another city with the gospel message. And how he worked in their hearts is another story. But I brought two men to this city, to a certain community, and began to evangelize the gospel message. And people began, in spite of a hostile area, hostile territory, because they were of a different religion, began to evangelize the gospel of Jesus Christ. And families started to come one by one. And I provided men who brought the gospel to follow in their behalf. I called men to follow in their behalf. I protected you. Things that you don't even know about, I protected you. There are things that we can't even reveal to this congregation. They wouldn't be edifying of what has taken place. But God has protected us and preserved us. And I brought families from all over this world. I brought families from a small village over in Italy, in Switzerland, Italy area. Brought them here. Put your family situation in there. I brought an elderly lady from Oklahoma, my grandmother, through this city, where she was to settle with her two boys. I brought some of you, met in college, and you married someone here and came and settled here in this city, in this church. Some of you became friends of friends that knew somebody that came to church. And you came. And you heard the gospel message. And the Holy, you think, not by accident, not coincidence, God has plans, that his plans are so great and so marvelous. And God brought you from a long way. He saw you afar off, like he saw Zacchaeus. He called your family, called your ancestors, called you into this marvelous light. And now you're here. Now we're at this point in our history. Now we're in this point of what is happening in this world, in God's plan. What is the message? Choose whom you will serve. Are you going to stay the course? Are you going to knuckle down? Are you going to batten down the hatches? Are you going to get more serious about your salvation? Are you going to make a determination to follow me as never before? Choose whom you will serve. Because your choices are very important. You may not even think about the choices I'm making on a daily basis. We become so routine and mechanical. We don't even think we're making choices, but we're making choices. We're doing things that determine our future destiny. We're doing things that affect our lives forever. Young people, I can't underemphasize how important it is to get serious about your salvation at a young age. Don't want to think about it. Have ideas and thoughts, and we're so influenced by this world and all that is around us. I read something, I was fascinated with it, not in a good way. The latest statistics, 47% of the population, I guess it's the United States, I'm not sure, have affiliation with a religious organization, go to church. 47%. It just changed since the early 2000s. For the past 60, 70 years before that, it was at like 70 to 75% people going to church, having a religious affiliation. Since the 2000s, it just dropped off. 47%, less than 50% identifying. You know who's leading the charge? You know who is the ones falling away? You know the ones who are not declaring any religious affiliation? The young people. They go to college. And we lose them. They go to college. And they hear all this liberal, anti-God, anti-Jesus Christ. We lose them. Church, what are we going to do? I know this is what the Word of God prophesies. In the last days, it says there'll be a great apostasy, a great falling away. We know that. The Word of God is true. Does that mean we stop fighting? Does that mean we stop praying? Does that mean we give up? Does that mean we're going to just wring our hands and say, oh, woe is, oh, no. We're going to pray. The best weapon we have, we're going to pray. And we're going to trust God and we're going to live the life and show them the way of Jesus Christ. And you may have to say, as for me, I will serve the Lord. I can't answer for you. I love you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to plead with God for you. I'm going to trust God for your soul. I'm going to lift you up before the throne of grace. I'm never giving up on you as long as I'm alive, but I can't answer for you. Will you say, as for me, I will serve the Lord. I will choose the straight and the narrow road. I will choose the way of Jesus Christ, the way that is not popular, the way that the world mocks and the world scorns. I will choose that way. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us this day. We're at a crossroads. We're living in the last of the last days. We're in a crossroads. And what does Jude say? Some say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating the garments spotted by the flesh. Son, daughter, pay attention to your decisions. What career you pick, what college you go to or don't go to, what avenue you take in this life, what friends you have, pay attention. Because you think the enemy is not backing off, you don't think the enemy is trying to destroy you? What did Jesus tell us? The thief cometh to kill and destroy and steal. He is after you. Ain't worried about the sinners. He's got them already. He's worried about those who know the gospel, who know the truth, who've been exposed to the truth. He is trying to destroy. My grandson recently just started college, and my prayer, our prayer for him, and it was mom and dad, is Lord, put him in the right place. I really fear for these children. I call them children, they're grown-ups, going away to college because they're away from the family. You know what? I believe those prayers prevail, that God puts a protective covering around them.
And mothers and fathers, it doesn't start when they go to college. It starts when they're born. It starts when we live the, it starts when you bring them to church. It starts when you bring them to Sunday school. It starts when you come on Wednesday night when it's hard and they've got homework and you're tired and you're both working and you got things to do. It starts when you do that. Because it demonstrates to them, this is so important to me. This has such a high priority. I will forego comfort and all the problems and the situation because I need to have this. Not to check a box, I went to church on this and so date. No, I was in the presence of the Lord. I need to worship Him. Amen. I need to praise Him. It starts with prayer. It starts with living the life. It starts with fathers being the spiritual head of the house. And mothers being the supportive, also co-sponsor, co-head of the house. Don't get hung up on the words. I'm not trying to be politically correct here. I'm trying to tell you, what is God saying to us? I'm going to have to answer, how did I behave with the flock? Did I preach the word? Was I faithful? Was I true and honest? I'm going to have to answer for that. And mothers and fathers, you're going to have to answer. What did I do with the talents that God gave, the gospel message? What did I do? Did I show them the way? You know, being a spiritual parent doesn't guarantee spiritual children. Amen? Let's be honest. As you could live the life perfectly, but they are free moral agents. They make decisions. They get to an age and time when it's you're going to have to stand for your own decision. When you reach the age of understanding, you become accountable to God. When you take the water baptism, you reach the age of understanding. Some say 13 years old, plus or minus. That's not the age that's important. But when you reach the age of understanding and you take the water baptism, you make that decision to follow Jesus Christ, you become accountable for your decisions. And you that hear the word and know the truth, you're even more accountable because you know the real thing. The Holy Spirit has already touched you. The Holy Spirit has already witnessed to you that you know this is the truth. You may kick up your heels, as we all did as kids. You may be rebellious at times. You may have your own head. But in your heart of hearts, you know this is real. It's not just I go to this church and they're whatever they are. No, it's real. The Holy Spirit dwells here. The power of God is real. We've seen it in operation. We've seen the baptism. We've seen miracles. We've seen God answer prayers. We've heard His word that has broken and spoken to our hearts. And God could be perfectly righteous if we walk away from all this to condemn us to hell. We're condemning ourselves to hell. Because God says, I've given you all things you need. Peter writes in the scripture, all things that pertain to life and godliness, I've given them to you that you might be partakers of the divine nature. All the things that you need to live the life and walk the walk, I've provided. I send my Son to shed His blood to pay for the price of your sin. And when Jesus looks at us, God looks at us, He sees us through the filter of the blood, washed clean. Not all the sins, not all the failures, not all the faults. He sees us through the blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Cleansed, washed clean. Yeah. spotless because of the blood.
Amen.
Glory to the Lamb. Oh, worthy of it all. He's worthy of it all this morning. So what are you going to do? Young people, what are you going to do? Well, Brother Ron, I'm in a situation. For example, I didn't marry someone of the same faith. And now I'm struggling. God understands. He's not going to condemn you for making mistakes. He's going to say there's a way through. There's victory. You got to trust me. It might be a little difficult. You might have to stand on your own for a while. You might have to hold forth the gospel message. You may have to stand alone for a while. But don't back down. Don't back off. Let the Spirit of God use love. But live the life and be the example. Lord, help us. Oh, brother and sister, Holy Spirit is saying, choose. What are you going to choose? You look at all that I've got. Like Joshua was, by the Spirit of God, was saying, look what God has done. Look what he has done. Look where he's brought you from. Look at how he's orchestrated for you to survive. You should have been destroyed. There were nations more powerful and mighty than you. They could have destroyed you, but I stopped them. I protected you. I brought you to the land that I promised. God brought you to a victorious, righteous Christian living. He gave you the power by the Holy Spirit. He wants you to have the baptism. He wants you to walk in that Spirit and live the life that brings glory and honor unto him and peace unto you. You wonder, you know, when folks go through trials, you're going to go through trials. Brother Steve had a message Wednesday night about Paul and Silas. And remember, if you read earlier in that chapter, Paul had a vision at night and a dream. A call from Macedonia, come over and help us. And they ended up in a Philippian jail, beaten and their feet in stocks at midnight. Don't you think thoughts went through their mind, possibly? Did I make the right decision? Did I follow the right path? And God answered with an earthquake. And God saved the jailer and his family. Oh, my brother and sister, Lord, help us to make the right decisions. Oh, it's easy to take the broad way. A lot of Christians today taking the broad way. When you look at their lives, you can't tell them from a worldly person. They dress like them, they act like them, they talk like them, but they go to church. That's the only difference. Forgive me, I'm not trying to be critical. But let's be real here. The Word says we become new creatures in Christ. When the Holy Spirit comes in, he does a work in us that is purifying, that is powerful. He changes us dynamically. It's not just, well, I said the sinner's prayer. Oh, no. It's something we're transformed from the inside out. Because there's power. You and I can't do it. We can't. All good intentions. All positive thinking. All the ways we can try to make it. No, we can't. We need the Holy Spirit power. We need the power to say no to sin, no to Satan, no to doubt, no to fear, no to the carnal desires, no. And that only comes through the Holy Spirit. Choose you this day whom you will serve. What choices are you making? We get so used to doing things, as I said earlier, we don't even realize we're making choices. We only come to one service. That's a choice. I'm not talking about people that are infirmed and can't drive at night. I'm talking about the people that are making choices. You know, you could come, but you're doing something else. You could come, but you're somewhere else. You could come, but you haven't given it the priority. You could come. And I'm not talking about church. When I talk church attendance, understand what I'm saying here. It's not being sitting in the pew. That's church attendance. That's fine. Sit in the pew. Good. Check off the box. You're sat in the pew. No, I'm talking about coming into the presence of the Lord to receive something from Him and to worship Him. You're present. You're active. Coming to church is not a spectator sport. We don't sing and look at the choir and say, well, you know, they sang. That's wonderful. I love their singing, and I'm going to sit here and not sing. They're not ministering to you or to me or to the brothers. They're ministering to the Lord. Amen. And we are ministering to Him. He's worthy of it all, my brother and sister. Get our priorities right. The Great Commission is what God is calling us to. And I've seen, I don't know why, it keeps showing up on my Instagram or YouTube, how to church to reach out to more people and keep them. And honestly, I don't look at them. But I've seen more advertisements. How do you keep people? How do you get to people and bring them to church? How do you keep them? And I don't know what they offer. I very seriously doubt it's what the Word of God describes, but it's techniques. It's worldly, worldly kind of thoughts. So reach out, go to the community, do this and that. And those are all, that's fine. I'm not being critical of those things. What keeps the people is the power of God. When the Holy Ghost is alive and well in the church, something happens. The Spirit of God begins to witness. And people, some folks don't like conviction. They don't like to feel bad when they come to church. Oh, I don't like that. No, don't tell me that stuff. I want to be okay. Everything's fine. I'm good. You're good. We're all good. We're not good. None of us are good. We need the power of God every day in our life. We need the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And when He moves in the church, hearts are touched and lives are changed. Not by how many coffee bars we have and how many activities. Nothing wrong with those things. That's fine. But that's not what saves people. That's not what keeps them. It's a decision. I want to serve God. I choose Jesus Christ. I choose that lifestyle. I choose the narrow way. You know what someone said? I thought it was very profound. The devil, Satan, is trying to make the noise so loud in the world that people can't hear the voice of God anymore. So much this and that, distractions. World War III. World Economic Forum. Inflation. All kind of problems. The progressives, the liberals, transgender, everything, noise. You don't think the devil's turned loose? You don't think he realizes his time is short? You're kidding yourself. Well, Brother Ron, you go ahead and preach that stuff, but I don't accept. You don't have to accept it. If it's true, it's true. I'm not saying it's true. The Word of God says it's true. Lord, help us. This is I think of the apostles. You talk about hostile environment. They were in a hostile environment. They were killed, beaten, put in prison for the name of Jesus. We don't have hostile environment. Not like that, not yet. I say not yet. You hear me? Not yet. But let's get ready. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You're going to go the wide way? Go to church when you feel like it? Don't read the word. Don't come to prayer meeting. Don't come. Don't spend time in prayer. Don't, you know, just kind of a, well, I love the Lord. I go to that church. I love the Lord. What kind of a commitment is that? Would you want someone, I hate to bring this down to human terms, but would you want someone on your team that only gives a minimal effort? Would you? I hate to put that in human terms because God is so far above that. Forgive that example. But you understand what I'm saying? If you're 99% committed, you're not committed at all. If there's 1% hanging out there that you haven't surrendered to the Lord, you're not committed. Committed is committed, 100%. Are you ready to walk to? I'm not talking about failures and faults. We have all those. Yes, we do. We don't practice that. We practice trying to live righteous and trying to follow the Holy Spirit. Oh, God, help us. It's the narrow way. And today, not many people want to follow the narrow way. What does that song say? Many have started to run in the race, but with our Redeemer, they could not keep pace. Others accepted because it was new, but not very many seem bound to go through. I'm going through. Are you going through? I'll pay the price, whatever others do, it doesn't matter. Hard words to say, wife, son, daughter, I'm choosing Jesus Christ. I want you to come with me. I'm praying you come with me. I'm trusting God you come with me. I'm fasting you come with me. But if you don't, I'm going through. It's a song I've quoted before. Forgive me for using my phone. I didn't have time to print it out. It's called Slow Fade. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. How do we do that? By our decisions. By how we live our life. It's a slow fade. It's a slow fade when black and white have turned to gray and thoughts invade and choices made. What was black and white? Today is gray. Well, I don't think the Lord. Why don't you read what the Scripture says? What does the Scripture say? What's going to judge us in that day? What does John write in his gospel? The Word is going to judge us in that day. Not Brother Ron, not the church, not the rules. When black and white are turned to gray and thoughts invade and choices made, a price will be paid. This is where people don't connect the dots. Well, if I serve the Lord, I'm not going to have any problems. No, you will have problems. It rains on the righteous and unrighteous alike. I would rather face trial and tribulation with Jesus Christ with me. Amen? You want to do it on your own? Go right ahead. You want to make those choices going to alienate you from God? You want to make those choices that keep you from His blessings? Brother Tom said it, harsh words. God may not heal everyone. That's true. God has a plan. What it is, we don't know. Why He calls someone sooner than later, I don't know. But He is righteous. And it says all things work for good. Either believe that or you don't. All things work for good? Absolutely, they all do. Well, I lost my sister when she was 25 years old. Was that fair? No, it may not be fair, but that was God's plan. I lost my father. I was 16 years old. Was that fair? No, I wish I could talk to my dad today. There are things I wish I could have counseled with him. Dad, what do you think about this? But you know what? Through it all, God sustained me and sustained my family. He gave me grace to be right here. My arm was amputated in 1975. I had a young family. Dana was 1 year old. I didn't mean to give out her age, but that's all right. But thank God I'm here. Through it all, there's a price to be paid. You hear the expression, well, they're getting by. No one gets by. Not that we want to see people punished. That's not the idea. But in our humanity, sometimes we say, how come? How can they get by? They don't do this. They don't. Stop looking at what others do or don't do. That's between them and God. How is it with you? How is it with your soul? You're going to be held accountable. You're going to stand before God alone. You're not going to be standing with the church. We're all going to be standing before the Lord. Yeah, no, no. One-on-one. What is it, Lord? And that's not something we should fear if we're following Jesus Christ. Because I hear Him say, come in, my faithful servant. Amen. That's what we want to hear. And God help us, He will. Praise God. When you give yourself away, people never crumble in a day. It's a slow fade. Are you on that trajectory? Are you as fervent as you should be in the Lord? I'm asking myself. Am I as fervent? Have I purged myself of everything that's unrighteous? Have I examined myself in light of the Holy Spirit? Lord, I want to serve You. I believe every one of us in this congregation sitting here this morning wants to serve the Lord. I believe that with all my heart. But God is saying, take a look. Remember what I've done. Put your own family history in there, how you came to the Lord, when the Lord worked in your soul, when He baptized you with the Holy Ghost, when He brought your family, your grandmother, your grandfather, your great-grandmother, great-grandfather, whoever it was, brought them to know the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and somehow, you are here in the presence of a holy God. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Sisters, would you come forward? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That house may be just this house. We will serve the Lord. May the Lord help you and encourage you this morning. May His name be praised.